This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is AmTower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. Every week, author, speaker, consultant Mark AmTower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. AmTower Off-Center with your host, Mark AmTower.
Welcome to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. I'm Mark AmTower. My guest today is kind of an old friend. I've known Sean Callahan for probably, four or five years easy now.
Oh, at least, yeah.
Let's go there. Sean is currently with LinkedIn, so start there and work backwards and tell people what you've done over the past decade or so.
Okay. Well, I'm really glad to be here, Mark. Thanks for inviting me on the show. And my name is Sean Callahan. I am a senior manager content marketing at LinkedIn. Prior to that, I was at Bizzo doing a similar job.
Tell people what Bizzo was.
Bizzo, which was acquired by LinkedIn a few months ago, is a B2B advertising platform. We have data on more than 100 million business people in the U.S. and Canada, and we can help marketers reach them based on the demographics that we know anonymously about those targets. We know their job title, their industry, their geolocation, and using that information, we can help marketers reach and nurture their target market. So that's what Bizzo was, and I was there in the marketing department creating a lot of the content that we used. And prior to that, I was deeply immersed in the B2B marketing world. I was an editor at B2B Magazine, and before that, I was a newspaper reporter. And even before that, I was a creative director at some B2B advertising agencies.
Yep, and we're here today to talk about Sean's first nonfiction book. He is the author of five children's stories that we will not get into, but with Russell Glass, also formerly of Bizzo, now at LinkedIn. Sean and Russell have a book, The Big Data-Driven Business, from Wiley, just coming out. What made you guys want to write a book?
We saw in what we were doing at Bizzo, and especially this was Russ's insight, that data was transforming the way business is being done. And data is also really transforming the marketing department. And so Russ really wanted to, with me, tell this story about how data is changing marketing's role, really elevating the marketing department and putting the CMO, in really a much more important position than the CMO has ever been in before. And this is because the buyer's journey has changed so much that it used to be that sales had the great insight into the customer. But now with 90%, of the buyer's journey, the buyer doing research online, through social media, through online reviews, through visiting websites, 90% of that journey is taking place there before a prospective buyer reaches out to sales. And so for that 90% of the journey, it's really marketing that has insight into what the potential customer is doing. They can see what they're doing on social media, see how they're reacting to emails, see what they're doing when they're visiting the website. And this kind of data is allowing the CMO to have the best view of the customer. And it's really data-driven, customer-focused businesses that are really going to thrive in the future, and the CMO is going to be a critical driver of that. And that's what we really wanted to get across in this book. And so we explored, we did interviews with 50 to 60 different marketers about how they're using data in their own business. And, we got some really fascinating stories.
Large, medium, small companies, what size firms?
Yeah, All of the above, because you know, I think people when you say big data, they think it's something that's reserved for, you know, the Fortune 500, that you have to invest a lot of money, or you need a lot of consultants, or you need to hire a lot of mathematically oriented people. Some of that is true, but you really don't need a huge investment to begin to take advantage of data. So we talk to large companies, and we talk to some very, very small companies, and all of them, using the simplest of tools, like even Google Analytics, you can begin to get a great view of who your customer is, who your best customers are, and also who your prospects should be by using that information.
There you go. I have a short story. My company turns 30 on January 1, and prior to that, I worked very briefly at an ad agency, and one of their clients vacated literally at the same time that I did, and he called me and said, I'd really like you to adopt me as your first client. And I said, you know, I'm going B2G. You sell real estate. I really don't see it here. And he said, well, you know, I really liked what you did for me at the agency because you gave those folks some ideas. So at least let's sit down and talk. So we sat down and talked. And this guy sold, he had a resort community on the Chesapeake Bay, and he was selling, you know, lots there for people to build on. And it was like a weekend getaway place. And the first thing I did is look at where the buyers had come from. And over 70% of the buyers came from two zip codes in Northern Virginia. And it wasn't a major surprise because these were McLean and Great Falls, which in the D.C. area means money. But nobody at the ad agency had looked to see where the people had come from. They were simply looking at the lists that did best and not even segmenting down to specific zip codes. So we took that simple data and improved his prospecting like five or six fold. We reduced the cost. We reduced the number of pieces going out, and it was all direct mail driven. But by just looking at that simple data, we improved his marketing program tremendously. So the reason I bring this story up is not simply to say that my company's going to be 30, which is not bad, but to show that, you know, even the simplest data out there. So what kinds of data can small companies look at?
Well, I think you raise a great point. I mean, I think the word data kind of throws people off, gets people a little bit nervous, but it is a something as simple as you just described there. You kind of look at your customer base. You look at all the customer information you have, whether it's could be in your e-commerce roles, it could be in your payment history of your customers, it could be in, like you say, the sort of the geolocation can be a critical information, could be the industry. You could look at the email database, and I don't know, maybe it's the people who open the most emails are the best. Maybe it's not. But you have all of this customer information in your business. And taking a really close look at it and trying to figure out not only who your customers are, but who your best customers are, the people who are spending the most money with you, if you can find characteristics that they share, it gives you a great idea of not only the customers you really need to work to keep, but the characteristics that prospects should have when you're going after them, and it really, really helps. So even the smallest company has access to this kind of data. They know they have customers. They can look at their customer base, analyze it, figure out what the best customers have in common, and gain an insight there that can really help them in prospecting in the future.
Yeah, there you go. Early in the book, and a couple of times throughout the book, you reference Jeff Moore, one of the original Intel team members, and you mention his two books, Crossing the Chasm and Inside the Tornado. Why?
Well, Jeffrey Moore is a very interesting character in that his analysis of technology marketing, you know, the marketing of computers and new technologies. Like, for instance, he wrote a lot about how, say, the laptop became sort of the de facto kind of product. And it's how you get from a new product being introduced and how you, he talks about going after, you know, individual markets first and then reaching sort of a tipping point where it becomes a standardized product. And he tracks how marketers can do that, move from a new product to becoming sort of the standard in the industry. But what's really interesting about this is he talks about how big data is influencing this. The other Moore, Gordon Moore, the founder of Intel, talked about, you know, how the number of transistors is going to double every 18 months to 2 years. And that's known as Moore's Law, and it's sort of driven the advances in computing and is really responsible, the fulfillment of that law, for all of the data that we have out there now, the data that cell phones are throwing off, that laptops, tablets, websites, all that sort of data is all driven by all of these advances in computing power. And what the other Moore, Jeffrey Moore, who wrote Crossing the Chasm, what he was talking about is how that data is transforming business almost constantly. We used to have paradigm shifts every several decades it would take before there was a huge paradigm shift in business. Now it's maybe even a decade or less because of how the use of data and the use of computing power is changing. Like a company like Google is a great example. They understood that storage was so cheap that you could store everything. And that transformed how they looked at search on the web. And now they're a company that uses data almost like a muscle. You know, every time they get a little bit more data, they get stronger. You go to Google and you do a search and they get a little bit more information about what people are searching for, and they get a little bit more information about how much they should be charging for search advertising.
Okay. Hold that thought. My guest today is Sean Callahan. Sean works at LinkedIn, but we're talking about The Big Data-Driven Business, the book he co-wrote with Russell Glass. It's available from Wiley. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM, back after these messages. Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guest today is Sean Callahan. Sean is the co-author with Russell Glass of The Big Data-Driven Business. We wrapped the last segment talking about Google. One of the things that Google brings to the table, literally for anybody and for free, is that analytics tool. So any size company can ferret down and find good stuff. How can they use Google Analytics for this?
Well, yeah, Google Analytics is an awesome tool, and it's for many companies, especially small companies, it's free. And what it can help you do is figure out who's coming to your website, what they're looking at, and it can help you, you know, hone your website content so that it's right for the people who are coming, and it's right for what they want to see. I mean, it's an incredible, valuable tool, and it's a bargain for any size company.
Let's talk a little bit about, you imply, but I don't think you say, that data is pretty much agnostic, and it can be used properly, or it can be used improperly, or it can be ignored at user peril. So give me a couple of examples. Take a deep dive on anything you want there, but the data's there. How can it help, and how does it hurt?
Well, yeah, I think one of the big examples of data-driven business outperforming one that wasn't very data-driven is Amazon and Borders, with Amazon, of course, being the data-driven business, the recommendation engine there, where Amazon can really predict what products you'll be interested in based on what you've bought before and what other similar buyers have bought before. Is an incredibly powerful tool that they've used to, you know, upsell and cross-sell their customers constantly. And Amazon, you know, through that data, creates an amazing customer experience. You know, even though we all love going to bookstores, the Borders just could not reproduce that kind of customer experience. And while Amazon was building this business and this customer recommendation engine and this fantastic customer experience, Borders was continuing to expand brick-and-mortar stores, and that's what really got them, as a company, in trouble. They should have been looking at maybe a hybrid model where they were looking more online than continuing to build stores, and they sort of ignored the data that Amazon was beginning to outperform them, and it really caught them in a horrible position.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the recommendation engine, that's really a kind of a very simple form of content, but it's content that's extremely useful because, number one, people love lists, and you click on something, and it immediately gives you a list of other stuff that people bought that was similar to or, you know, predicated on your buyer persona that Amazon has.
Absolutely, and it's one of the best examples of a company using data to be customer-focused. You know, they're really focused on who their customer is and what they want, and it's all driven by data, you know, what other people bought. Very simple data, but powerful, accurate, strong data nonetheless.
Yeah. You use a story in the book that I've seen before, but it's really a cool story, the John Deere story. Why did you include that and tell people what it is?
Yeah, John Deere is the farming implement company, and they make lawnmowers too. And they've been around since the 1800s. And John Deere, as Joe Pelosi of Content Marketing Institute is fond of pointing out, is one of the first content marketers. They created a magazine for their customer base, for farmers, back in the 1800s called The Furrow, and it's still being published today. And the magazine is focused on helping the farmer, providing content that you know, helps them do their jobs better, helps them get better crop yield, buy the right products, etc. And this magazine still exists, and more than just being something nice for the customer, it also is a valuable thing for Deere in that, you know, they have built a database of all the subscribers to that. And these are the farmers, these are the customers that they want to reach. And it's just an amazing use of content marketing to build a database. And it shows that, you know, content marketing has been around for, you know, at least 100 years, probably much more.
Well, it has, and you know, taking a slightly more recent example and one from your neighborhood, you've been in Chicago pretty much your entire career, correct?
Yep, that's
yeah.
True.
A company that I advised in the early mid 2000s, CDW, is in that vicinity, and has an extraordinary presence. But about 10 years ago, they started publishing their own magazines, FedTech, StateTech, EdTech. And when they did this, they did it as an information sharing tool for their customer base in each of those verticals. And the first year out of the gate, FedTech won one of the IT Magazine Awards, and it wasn't an award for a house organ, it was the general award for IT magazines. So, I mean, they were content-driven, too.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's really changed. With I think printing is cheaper than it used to be, and certainly companies have access to the Internet where everyone can be a publisher, and it's changed mm-hmm. the way companies go to market. You can be a publisher, and you can sort of bypass the old trade publication and get your story out there directly to your customers and your prospects. And it's interesting because I think companies understand that they can't be shilling for themselves all the time. They know that they have to tell the truth, tell a very good story, because people will ferret out
the
companies
self,
that
yeah.
are stretching the truth online yeah. very quickly. And it's kind of an amazing thing because I think the companies can tell the story about the industry better than reporters can a lot of time. I'm saying that as a reporter, as a former reporter, but I think it's true. I think that they understand the market and have the technology people that can maybe tell the story better than some reporters can.
Well, it's funny because one I gave them, I was on sort of an open retainer there, open. I worked for them for 3 years, but I was open to involve myself in anything that the G portion of the company was involved in. And I got to look at the editorial plans and influence those. I also pushed very hard. They initially wanted a great big old CDW on the top left of every magazine. I said, you know, I don't think that's a good idea. And I explained why. why. And CDW is on the front of every magazine, but it's small and it's in the lower right-hand corner now. And it has been since day one. So
Right. It
wasn't viewed as a house organ. It was viewed as a technology organ.
Right. And I think that's the right way to do that.
Yeah. Let's talk about using data in a slightly other way. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about how Dell used this to add on products. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Sean Callahan. Sean, along with Russell Glass, both of LinkedIn and formerly Abizzo, have written The Big Data-Driven Business out from Wiley, and it's available online. It's available in brick and mortar. It's at or going to be at Barnes & Noble. Well worth your time to pick up this book and read it. It's a good book. If it wasn't a good book, Sean wouldn't be on the show today. I left the last segment by saying let's take a look at how a company has really leveraged LinkedIn to add products and even create products. You tell a story about Dell in here. Share that, please.
Sure. Well, we tell a short story about Dell and how it outstripped Compaq back in the late 90s and early 2000s by becoming the e-commerce engine. And aside from being efficient, gave Dell incredible amounts of data very quickly about what the market wanted. So companies that were still selling in stores or through, you know, third parties, they definitely got data on what was selling, what wasn't, what features people wanted, like, you know, CD burners back in those days. But Dell got it faster because it was happening in real time on their own e-commerce site. And that's how they were able to, you know, have lesser inventory, move quickly, so that they could take advantage of shifts in the market, like, almost immediately compared to their competitors who, you know, had to take maybe several months before they could figure out what the market wanted. Then they had to manufacture it, et cetera. Dell could move much faster, and that's why they became, at that point, the top-selling computer brand.
Okay. You go into extraordinary detail in the book on the marketing role, and number one, as a marketer, I'm really happy to see that. Maybe we'll see a couple of marketers migrate up the food chain to CEO level as a result of not just the book, but the implications of what the book really represents. But you talk about the collaboration of the CMO and the CIO. What's going on here, and why is that important?
Yeah, well, it's essential anymore because we talked a little bit about the buyer's journey before, and that's mediated by software. The way you can tell how people are visiting your website or using your or reacting to your email newsletters is via software. You know, you need Google Analytics tools on your website to figure out who's coming there. You need a CRM, a customer relationship management system, to track your prospects and your customers, and you need marketing automation to help you email properly, and you need the CIO to help you do this, and it has to be a collaboration. You know, the IT department and the marketing department, you know, it's kind of a cliche that they don't get along, that they don't think alike. IT wants to be more cautious and make sure that systems have been widely adopted before they begin to install it. Marketing wants to move quickly and have the best tools installed immediately. But those two groups and those two people, the CMO and the CIO, have to really learn how to work together because the business depends on it. Marketing, as I said before, is much more important than it ever was before. It's the window on the customer and how they're behaving online. And so you need the IT tools set up for the marketing department to use faster and sooner rather than later. So those two groups really have to work together these days much more than they ever did before. You know, in addition to marketing and IT, you know, having to work together more and more, I think marketing and sales have to work together more and more. You know, it's also a cliche that those two groups don't get along. You know, sales always says that marketing leads are weak, and marketing always says that sales doesn't follow up on the leads that they provided. But these days, with marketing having the window on that sort of 90% of the buyer's journey that is taking place online, I think sales understands that marketing is more important than before, and when they use data to really give sales the best leads, the really marketing qualified leads that meet the criterion of someone who's ready to buy now, someone who's in the right industry, someone who has a big enough budget to afford your product or service, that's when sales really loves marketing. And when all of it comes together, the technology, sales, and marketing, you really can have a stronger business, certainly a stronger business than your competitors do.
Okay. Part of your book that really, and there's several parts of your book that really intrigue me, but one of them really kind of drove home the whole message. It's a subchapter called 10 Principles When Bringing Big Data Into Your Business. Let's walk through these, if you will.
Sure. We sort of give people an idea of how to begin to implement big data in your business. One of the ideas that we are really trying to get across here is that you should not be intimidated by the term big data. It's not just for big companies. It's not just for companies who have deep pockets to hire a bunch of data-oriented people. It's for every company of every size in any industry. You can begin to take advantage of this. And we kind of alluded to the first principle earlier about, look at your customer data. Look at your email database, your customer roles. If you have some e-commerce, take a look at what's happening there, who the customers are who are buying there. Take a look at the payment information and begin to see, who your customers are, what characteristics they share, who your best customers are and what characteristics they share. And then you can begin to get an even better idea of who your prospects should be. And doing that is the first step, sort of figure out what you want to know about your customers and then use the data that you already have, including website visitors, to figure out who those customers are. Your website is an incredibly valuable thing. It's the place where you're trying to drive all your customers. You're spending tons of money on, say, media or what have you, to drive people there. And most of the time, people bounce off without really going deeper, and certainly without you capturing an email address. And trying to figure out who those, say, 95% of the people who come to your website and aren't signing up for your emails, who those people are, maybe how you can reach them, is kind of a critical thing. So that's kind of principle one, is focus on the customer and figure out who they are and what you can know about them and what you want to know about them.
Okay. Principle two is it's big data, but start small. We also touched on that, but take a little deeper dive.
Sure. You can do some very simple things with data. You may want to begin to measure your programs that you have measured before. That can be something that can help a CMO prove to the CFO that marketing programs are working. And again, start with something that you need to do or you want to do, like improve your email open rates, or maybe improve engagement, or improve, like I was talking about before, increase the number of people who come to your website who actually share their email address, and you can begin to have a conversation with them. If you can pick one thing you want to do and have the data to show that you're doing it better, once you begin to focus on that thing, you can begin to get more money for these kinds of programs where you're using data to make your marketing a little bit better, a little bit more effective, and lead to more revenue. The third principle is we talk about not betting everything on technology. You want to be smart, like we talked about in the first two principles. Look at your customer base, figure out something that you can do well, and then do it and measure it. And don't sort of just willy-nilly begin to install all these technologies you've heard about, like data management platforms or other technology like that. Make sure that it's technology that you need. Make sure that you have the cooperation of IT before you move into that. But at the same time, I think there are some basic technologies that most businesses need. An analytics tool is one of them. CRM system is probably one. And more a marketing automation system is becoming really critical for, especially for B2B companies, for tracking their marketing. And the fourth principle is hire the right people. you know, if you look at Mad Men, you know, it's all about creativity and being a right-brained creative person. That's the way it was back in the 60s and the 70s. But also, if you look at Mad Men, you know, eventually the computer comes in and kind of makes everybody a little bit nervous on the show. But nowadays, the computer is just, it's part of how you market. It's part of what you have to do. And you need people who can, you know, A, help you implement the tools you need, the technology tools, and B, can understand data and interpret it so that you can come to the right conclusion. So you're going to have to hire more of the left brain people, the mathematically oriented people, to help you in the marketing department. Principle number five.
Hold that thought. We'll get back to it right after this. My guest today is Sean Callahan. Sean is the co-author of The Big Data-Driven Business from Wiley. I'm Mark Amtower, and you're listening to Amtower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM back after this message. Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Sean Callahan. Sean is a, what's your official title at LinkedIn?
It is Senior Manager Content Marketing.
Bingo. He's a content guy at LinkedIn. He and Russell Glass, co-authors of The Big Data-Driven Business. I really suggest you get this book. There's a lot of information in here. It takes a complex subject and makes it digestible. Let's go through the last 6 points real quick, please.
Sure. Yeah, we were talking about sort of 11 principles for implementing a data-driven marketing department at your own company. And the fifth one is that marketing should have a say in technology. Definitely marketing has to cooperate these days with the IT department and the CIO. Technology is really how you mediate your interactions with your customers and prospects online these days. The sixth principle is measure and test. Say you're sending out to emails, definitely do an A-B test about with subject lines, for instance, to figure out which ones are working best. It can really help you drive more results, and it's a very simple thing to do. So measurement and testing is critical. You got to stay on top of your data. You have to have somebody looking at it on almost a daily basis to make sure that your website is still performing right, you're still driving the right people there, that your email open rates are strong. Definitely have to keep on top of your data so that you can detect shifts very quickly and you're not behind, and your competitors maybe are detecting shifts in your market faster than you are. The eighth principle is conduct a data audit. You've got all this data throughout your organization, whether it resides in the financial department, sometimes in the HR department, in the marketing department, sometimes it resides in IT, but all this data on your customers and how they're visiting your website, responding to your emails, how they're buying from you on your e-commerce platform, all that information, ideally you would want to put it together in a single database so that you have information on the customer in one place and you have a 360-degree view of the customer. That should be under marketing. We think they have the best viewpoint of who the customer is.
No argument for me.
Yes. And then the definitely have to cooperate internally with IT and sales. It's more important than ever that these groups not be siloed and that they all work together to really understand who the customer is and so that you're a data-driven, customer-focused business. Practice good data hygiene. Make sure that your email lists are up to date, that you have the right even mailing address for your customers. You can incent sales to do this or your inside sales every time they talk with a customer to make sure that they ask the customer, you know, is this phone number still correct? Is this mailing address still correct? Is this the correct contact person? And that way you keep your data up to date. And the last thing is...
There was one point in there that I thought was extraordinary, though. 64% of the data didn't have a phone number.
Because yeah, it's amazing.
People
yeah.
were so reliant on email.
Yeah, that's very true. And, you know, email, you got to have someone's email address, but so many emails are ignored. If you have the person's phone number, you know, the human touch, despite data becoming more and more important, the human touch doesn't go away. You know, it's still critical to be able to pick up the phone and call your best customer or, you know, even call your prospects.
Yep.
It's a very valuable thing.
Okay.
And, And then the last thing is, you know, have a roadmap, but expect detours. You know, things are changing constantly. There's new technologies being invented that are useful. Some are not, of course, but you really need to keep an eye out for how the landscape is changing. And those are the 11 principles that we had.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, you talk about the landscape changing. I stopped publishing a newsletter in 2006, an email newsletter, because I was going on the radio. I had just started a blog, so I had to give up something. But the last issue of the newsletter was, it was 2007. It was talking about leveraging this new tool called LinkedIn.
Right.
So... watch out for this thing. It's coming.
So. Well, yeah, thanks for the plugs. I mean, LinkedIn is a great content engine, great way to find your customers online. Yeah, it's a great tool.
True. So you've got all of this stuff in here for people to use. What? Give me some idea of a direction. What's the future hold for data-driven businesses?
Well, one of the key things is mobile. You know, people have been talking for years that this is the year of mobile, but it's definitely, especially in social, mobile is becoming a really strong way that marketers are able to reach their customers, and it throws off a lot of data too. You know, geolocation is important, real-time geolocation. You know, mobile just has so many possibilities, the other kind of related one is the Internet of Things that is also something that we've been talking about for a while, but is really going to come into its own over the next few years, where everything from, you know, a refrigerator to a jet engine is throwing off incredible amounts of data, where companies that are really well positioned can figure out how their customers are using this product, when it needs maintenance, all these sorts of things that are going to improve customer service, and the customer or the companies that are using this kind of data are going to be able to really help their customers more than their competitors are. And the other thing is that, you know, no matter what industry you're in, you're probably not going to escape having to be a data-driven, customer-focused business. It's just the way things are going to be. Even agriculture. You know, probably the oldest industry is using data to help farmers improve their yields, to help them use the optimal amount of water when they're irrigating their crops. You know, it's kind of incredible what's available out there using data. And I think Jeffrey Moore, who we talked about earlier, the author of Crossing the Chasm, we talked to him for this book. Had an interview with him. He was fantastic, and he was talking about three of the areas where data is really going to have a huge impact going forward are in healthcare, in education, and in government.
All of which tie into listeners for this show, because those are all usually public sector and government, definitely, but education and healthcare largely public sector centered. The one quick point you mentioned, you know, the year of mobile. One of the cool stats that I ferreted out of LinkedIn recently was that in 2013, more than 40% of the visitors on LinkedIn were visiting from mobile platforms.
Right. So yeah, I think that's growing all the time.
Yeah, it was certainly growing over the previous years. So 40% was huge. Last thought, please. Outside of buy the book.
Well, yeah, I was going to get to that. Another incredible tool is companies like Lattice Engines and Mintigo and Infer are these predictive analytics companies. And we talked a lot about, you know, the data that you can get online. These guys are able to put together online and offline data to help marketers predict who's ready to buy now. You know, the one example that's in the book is it was a company that sells routers, and the most important characteristic of customers ready to buy was that they had signed a new lease and that they needed, needed new equipment. And that's fascinating, you know, that you can put together all this kind of data from offline, like lease information, and online stuff and find out, you know, what are these characteristics of customers who are ready to buy right now. And that kind of use of data is really just one more example of how data is transforming business in the marketing department.
Bingo. Sean, thanks so much for joining me today. My guest today has been Sean Callahan, senior content guy at LinkedIn and the co-author with Russell Glass of The Big Data-Driven Business from Wiley & Sons. You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. This is not my day job. If you need help on leveraging LinkedIn for your company, or if you need help on content, with Hinge Marketing, we're hosting our first B2G content bootcamp in December. Drop me a line, markamtower@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to AmTower Off-Center.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off-Center, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.